Good morning. Today is Sunday, April 5th, 2020. Larry asked me to open up this morning and let you know about something we've planned for Resurrection Sunday. On Saturday, April 11th, Larry and I will have a communion service for our household, and we will record it and post it on the website in addition to sending out a link for the audio like we normally do. You may be in an area where there are no other beloved ones, and in addition to that, the nation is socially distancing, and we do respect that. So if you would be blessed to join our recorded communion service, the audio will be available on the website or by email link sometime Saturday evening at the very latest. So then you have all day Sunday to work it however you would like. All you would need to have is your representation for the bread and the cup, wine and bread, however you practice that. Then you would simply follow along with us in our service. Larry's teachings, of course, during the month of March so far have directed us along a clear path in the preparation of our hearts so that we discern the Lord's body with great believing and steadfast determination. Because really, even the partaking of communion is between each of us and our Heavenly Father. Through knowing and believing the accomplishments of Christ in His death, His resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of His Father, and He continues to make intercession for the saints. And as a believing body of Christ at large, of course, we all continue to pray perfectly and give praises to God for His supply to our lives, for the needs of the world right now, especially. And Larry's going to continue along today to get us right on the cusp of celebrating all that the Lord accomplished for us by teaching on prepared for triumph.
Well, thank you, Connie. Actually, it's prepared for victory.
Oh, sorry.
Because we know we're triumphant in Christ, but especially against these attacks that the enemy is throwing at people and trying to scare the daylights out of people and make them fearful. So it's only the Word of God that will take away the fears and bring the healing. Last week, in closing, I said we would begin this week's teaching by looking at the record in Matthew chapter 15 about the Syrophoenician woman. We should take note as to how this woman was totally prepared herself for victory. For triumph in any category, preparation is pretty important. I think of the Boy Scouts motto, always prepared. Connie and I enjoy watching Ninja Warriors about their lives of the competitors many times include their preparation to excel. Now, they do it to physically excel, but we want to make sure we're prepared to excel spiritually in spiritual triumph and victory. What about our triumphing in Christ? We talked last week about the word for unto victory, which is the Greek word eis, as meaning moving toward, reaching, and entering into victory. Unlike the Boy Scouts and Ninja Warriors, where mental and physical prowess are crucial, triumphing in Christ is personal and private. Our moving toward, reaching, and entering into victory is dependent upon our spiritual determination. And, you know, your spiritual, what your attitude toward the word determines your spirituality. The preparation is within our own hearts. It's private and personal. Let's start in verse 21 of Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And you'll notice a lot of times in the Word of God, locations and different things have several different names, just depending on who's there at the time. For instance, like the Sea of Galilee is also referred to as the Sea of Gennesaret. And Tyre and Sidon is also referred to as Phoenicia, Syrophoenicia. And it's interesting, but a lot of times they have multiple names, so don't let that throw you off. And if you're doing a study, you might have to look at several different names to get the fullness of the picture you want to look at. Verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." This woman in verse 22 is from Canaan. The parallel record to this is in Mark 7, where the woman is called a Greek or a Gentile, or a Syrophoenician by nation. She was not a Jewess, but a descendant of the early inhabitants of the coastland of Phoenicia. Most likely, she was a Syrian residing in Phoenicia proper. Canaanite was the name for the ancient inhabitants of Palestine before its conquest by Israel. In Christ's time, it was equivalent to Phoenician. When the Canaanites came, where they came from was about a 25-mile area. They were the descendants of the younger son of Ham, who became cursed for trying to cut off the Christ line. So this woman, the mother of this poor daughter who had this attack from a devil spirit, descended from these people. And if you read the history of the worship and other historical records, you'll find that they had a horrific kind of worship, and a lot of it was based in sexual perversions. Anyway, she was a Gentile woman from this area of Syrophoenicia. She was a Canaanite, a Gentile. Being a Canaanite, the promises of God were not to her. Being a person out of her background, she said to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David," or "thou son of David." She must have known that Jesus Christ was of the Davidian line and the Messiah would come through David's birth line. And she would have to know about Ham's son endeavoring to cut off the Christ line. She said, "Thou son of David." She knew that the Christ line came through David. Isn't that beautiful? What a courageous woman and mother. "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." What exactly went on here, we don't know. We do know it was torturous to her, to the daughter, was grievously vexed or under the power of a demon. She was grievously vexed. Grievously means to be sick with or to be diseased, to be miserable and ill. Verse 23 goes on to say, "But he," Jesus, "answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." She's making a big commotion behind us, and we don't need that kind of advertisement. Well, let me ask you a question. If you were this woman, where would you go for help? There's not a psychiatrist, there's no sociologist, there's not even a pharmacist who would be able to help her in her suffering, help her suffering daughter. At best, they could semi-incapacitate her, but they could not deliver her to wholeness. These are the kinds of situations where I say, as I often do, they surpass scientific discovery and development. They exceed the scope of nature and reach beyond the helping hands of human kindness. There is no way to overstate the hopelessness they had in these circumstances. No matter what your material resources are, it's hopeless. It's an impossible situation. Sure, human kindness can bandage, human kindness can tenderize or perhaps semi-incapacitate a person. I remember there was a gentleman who was very ill that we went to visit in the hospital, and he was in terrific pain, and he would be shouting and screaming from the pain. And I would just, he told me stories about when he was in the Air Force and being stationed in England. So I just started, tell me about such and such, and tell me about such and such, and redirecting his mind, and he would just settle down. So where does one go for help with the impossible? Yes, he sent out his word, and it healed, and from their corruptions it freed, Psalm 107:20. It's the word that does the healing. At this point, Jesus answered her, not a word, because the Gentiles were strangers from the covenants of promise. He didn't have a word for her. She was a Gentile, as stated in Ephesians. This woman was a stranger and a foreigner from the covenant of promise, and she was without God and without hope in this world. That's exactly where the word said she was going to be. But she wanted to get out of that. That didn't stop this mother. She would have heard that Jesus was healing and delivered those in need, and she also knew who she was. And yet she laid the census facts aside and came directly before Jesus and cried unto him. The word cried is interesting. You might think it would be a word used many times in the Bible, but this word is used only seven times. It is strong and very direct discourse. In fact, it's the same word used in John 11:43, where Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! You want a Mother's Day sermon? You want a picture for the cover of Time? You want a woman of the year? You want to talk about determined for deliverance? Even knowing whose descendant she was did not stop this mother. She went directly to Jesus because if her daughter was ever going to be healed and delivered, if her daughter was ever going to be taken care of, Jesus was the only place for her to go. She knew that, and she went. What a remarkable woman. Her heart was prepared, and no senses information from this world was going to deter her. She went prepared for victory. Her expectations were crystal clear. You know, we hear a lot of information from the world. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. But if you're determined for deliverance, you need to be prepared for the victory. And especially in categories where it's impossible for man, but for God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing has changed. The answers we truly need are not in our culture, nor in our society, or even within the resources of our natural nature. Jesus' disciples even told her, let's send her away. Tell her to go someplace else. We don't have anything for this woman. But you had Jesus and you had the Word of God, so where else can she go? There's no place else. Now Jesus is ready to speak, and we'll pick it up in verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, verse 25, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. No, she's not going away. She continues to implore him as Lord. She could have said Jesus. That was his name, right? But she worshipped him and addressed him with the title of honor and expressed her respect and reverence. It's the same word that's used when a servant greets his master or greets their master. Of further significance, she said, Lord, help me. In Greek writing, it means run to cry of those in danger, with the idea of bringing aid. Help! We need some help over here. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, it says, Remember the father of the child who cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He was saying, Run to my aid, Lord, and bring to me what I need. When you seek me, you will find me, as Connie so beautifully shared from Isaiah. That's how it works. Continuing in verse 26, "But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." So she probably had been around and heard somebody sharing the word, and she just latched on to those words. She had not finished her case for deliverance. This verse marks the third time this mother invites Jesus into her situation. No matter Jesus' response, she constrained him, "Come into my life and help her." And in verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as that even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Look at this. Not even Jesus could ignore her determination, her preparation for victory. Nothing can interfere with our freedom of will. It boils down to our own choosing. And when she heard the word, she took it to her heart. She believed it. Jesus said, it's going to be according to your will. So when we, according to our freedom of will, say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, or according to thy will, we are choosing life above the ordinary measure in quality, resources, and absolute victory over all the attacks of the enemy. What humility and desire. This woman was content to eat the crumbs from the floor beneath the master's table. Think of Psalm 23, verse 5. It says, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And I think of we're going to be partaking of the bread and the cup for communion, especially in this current condition of our planet and the fears that are running prevalent over it. Look at how many children of Israel who were invited to the table rejected what was prepared for them. Think of the number of the times the children of Israel walked away from the table. We'll list additional verses on this email to cover that, and you can read it on your own. They are interesting to note. This woman, not even worthy to be in the room where the table was thankful for even a small morsel that fell from the table of plenty. She desired with all her heart to benefit from what others would simply sweep up and throw away, or with what the dogs would lick up. The record of the marriage, just give me that much. That's all I need. You want to talk about respect for the words that Jesus spoke? The verses are contained in the record of the marriage, how a nobleman did a marriage for his daughter, and he told his disciples to go, and he sent out invitations, and when they refused the invitation, he didn't stop there. He went out into the streets and had them bring the halt, the withered, the lame, the blind. He made it open for anybody. And here he's making it open for her. Just give me that much. That's all I need. You want to talk about respect for the words that Jesus spoke? She received it not as it was from the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh in them that believe. She said, just give me a crumb, Lord, just a crumb, just one of those crumbs beneath the table. Nobody else is going to pick it up. Nobody else is going to eat it. Just give me that one little crumb, because I know there's power in every speck, and that's all I need to change my circumstances. Just give me a word. At this time, this woman had no place, no right to anything. You and I have our own place at the table. What a record, just to have a crumb. How precious she considered every word of the Lord. And here we are. We have the whole loaf. We are seated at the table. Let's not leave the table unfilled. There's a great song, hymnal, about the a wideness in God's mercy. The lyrics go, "There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's judgment, which is more than liberty. There's no place where earth's sorrow are more felt than up in heaven. There is no place where earth's failings have such kindly judgment given. For the love of God is broader than the measure of the mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderful and kind. If our love were but more faithful, we would gladly trust God's word, and our lives reflect thanksgiving for the goodness of our Lord." Well, great record and a great song. The lyrics, and what a great word of God. What area of life do you need deliverance? It is still the same word that God sent out, and it still heals, and from corruption, it frees. Can you see yourself systematically getting your heart to the place of entering into the victory which God has promised? In Proverbs 16, verse 1, in the English Standard Translation, it reads, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." God designed preparation of the heart to start with parents in raising up their children. Look at his instruction in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, where it tells us, I'm going to read this verse from Dake's Annotated Bible. You will see the depth in preparation of the heart, and especially in preparation of the hearts of children as they grow. And this is great instruction for any parent. And we particularly love this translation from the Annotated Bible from Dake's. "Train up or hedge in a child in the way he should go, and when his responsibility to stay in it comes, he will do so. Give him a complete series of instructions on every step he is to take. Drill him thoroughly on how to perform his duties, how to escape danger, how to appropriate the blessings of the way. Stamp these lessons deep in his soul and lead him to practice them until they are part of his life. Bathe him in prayer, instill the fear of God in him, and he shall not depart from it." Well, we want our hearts to never depart from the word, so we are prepared and ready to move toward, reach, and enter into the victory. Preparation is essential, and it starts with parents teaching your children the word and training them up in the way that they should go. 1 Samuel 30 gives us a record of David in great distress. He and his men came home to find that the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag, and that's where David had taken the children of Israel while they went to recover parts of the kingdom. But in Ziklag, with the troops gone, the Amalekites came in, and they burned it and taken captive of their wives and their children. Verse 4 describes their despair. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 4. "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." Sometimes we get to that place where we get so distressed, but God even delivers him from this distress through David's training. Can you imagine? And on top of this, verse 6 says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people," meaning the soldiers he was with, "spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." When we get frightened, when we get so distressed, we make dumb decisions. That's not a time to make decisions. Go back to the word and re-instruct your mind and the things you've been instructed with from since you were a child, and strengthen your heart. Can you imagine? And on top of this, verse 6 says, well, I read that to you already. Verse 6 continues, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Encouraged means to tie fast, to bond strongly. He He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I'm sure there were a lot of people that wanted to advise him and instruct him and tell him all these different things and tell him all the how angry they were and what he ought to do about it. But he wanted to first tie himself fast, tie the bond strongly. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The record continues, and in verse 18, you can read that David recovered all that Amalek had carried away. Verse 19 describes entering into the victory. Verse 19, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Isn't that wonderful? I've got a teaching that I've done and shared. It's on Faith Writers, God the Restorer. Because God is a restorer in full. And if you've never heard it or you haven't heard it and you'd like to read it, certainly go there. It's a great record. It's called Faith Writers. And just put my name there and it'll, you can get right to the different articles that I have done and posted there. God is a restorer in full. Nothing was lost. It's beyond our minds to understand how God will accomplish this, but his word teaches us that he will. Are you willing to trust him for that promise? You know, here they had their wives and their children, their daughters, sons and daughters taken, and everything that they had worked for, everything that they had put in their lives to increase their treasures, all that was taken, and all of it they got back, and none of it was missing. Later in verse 26, David sending the spoils of the enemies of the Lord unto the elders of Judah. David ran to the Lord his God. All that David was and all that David had were no match for these attacks. He prepared himself strong in the Lord and entered into the victory. David responded quickly. We know from the Old Testament that David was in the scriptures in times of adversity. He wasn't a spiritual counterfeit. His heart was already prepared so that in an instant he was able to adhere himself to the things he already knew and the deliverance God had already promised. And he was well aware of the scriptures. Which brings you to the question, how much preparation do you need? Well, how far away are you from believing the promises of God, from believing that his promise is coming to pass now? You are not going to be denied, so don't deny yourself. You know, with the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, he didn't say, come back next week, you know, we'll take a look at this and I'll pray for you and let's get together next week or send me a letter, let me know how you're improving. This week we received an email update from a beloved one where he shared what he called some thoughts. His thoughts read as follows, and I wanted to share it with you. God is still on the throne. God's kingdom was never overthrown. The only thing that was overthrown was man's authority over the earth by the serpent. And God continues to provide for us, as he always has. And we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock. He broke down the wall between us and God, so we have access to his abundant love. When our lives are anchored on Jesus Christ, even if we in life stumble or trip, we will land on solid ground. Our footing is stable and secure, so we can get back up. There's always light in our home because our God provides, delivers, protects, and most of all, loves. It is that simple. He meditates upon the word. He rehearsed it in his heart and logically worked it through his mind and heart. He prepared for victory. He holds in his heart biblical expectations. It's not simply knowing the promise and quoting it verbatim, but believing it, entering into its reality. We know the love God has in us and believe the love he has to us. We live like men and women whom God loves, 1 John 4:16. In Isaiah 57, it speaks in light of preparation, verses 13 and 14. He that putteth his trust in me, in God, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare ye the way. Take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. Cast up means to mount up, to embank, prepare a highway, get the road all set, remove anything that would cause stumbling. Metaphorically, it means to get rid of anything that gets in your way of entering into the deliverance God has for you. Get the sickness out of the way. We can appropriate the daily health briefings or appreciate the daily health briefings, but know when to stop listening and stop. Know when you need to know as a citizen to be compliant in an effort to stop the spreading of viruses, but get your promises from God. And as you prepare for the communion and you're reading in 1 Corinthians 10, it gives us instruction about not being a stumbling block to people. You know, you can say, well, God will heal me, but, you know, like Jesus did at the pinnacle when he was tempted at the pinnacle of the temple to jump down and his angels would bear you up. Jesus didn't take that. He didn't act on that. Same thing, you know, there's things that you can do. Maybe you're not fearful of the COVID-19 or anything like that, and you shouldn't be. But that doesn't mean we go and embarrass everybody else and we keep invading their space. You don't do that. That's not loving. If you have questions whether God will hear you or not, call us. I'm serious. Get set on your healing. Pull out all the weeds so nothing interferes. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. If there are religious things, sin and sin consciousness, get rid of them. Get the word going in your heart. Get some preparation in your heart. Get some forgiveness going in your heart. In preparation, it is done to establish your heart. Psalm 9 is a great one. This is David, and he says in verse 3 of Psalm 9, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. It's been prepared. Even God does preparation. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. How's he going to judge it? In righteousness, sure. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. He's going to instruct them what it is to be upright. We are righteous in Christ. There's the judgment in our favor. Verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And right now, from a census point of view, it's time of trouble. Verse 10, and they know thy name. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. If you seek me, what's going to happen? Yep. These are David's thoughts, his continual confessions. They became the issues of his heart and the issues of his life. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God, sure, the word. Elevate your heart. Prepare your heart. Go to the word. You may have to eliminate the voices in the world. You listen to the voices about the economy and you can't see how you could possibly prosper. Well, turn the TV off. You got the information that they have. That's all they can say. But ours has further information that God will prosper us. That is not the word's prospectus. For an economy, nor for health. Stop checking all the websites. Those websites are not going to deliver you unless it's myinternetchapel.org. It's true. However much time to need, however much time you need, get your heart set, prepared, encouraged, bound with God. We don't need perfection to enter in, but if you're preparing your heart, God will run to meet you with that promise. Consider the record in Luke chapter 6 about building your house upon a rock or on the sand. Your heart is your house. That's where you live. We build our minds, our hearts, so that when the floods rise and the winds blow, and they do, we're not shaken. The floods will rise and the winds will blow, but they should not prevail against us. In terms of casting out demons, do some preparation. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Complete authority, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. You cannot negotiate with them out. Please leave, prepare ourselves on the truth of the Word of God, and get our hearts set. God will meet us there with his power and might. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, for this is that he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Well, the Messiah has come, and we confess Jesus as our Lord. There are five things I can think of you might consider in preparation. Number one, when setting your heart, pray. Mark 1:35, Jesus says he arose a great while before day and went out and prayed. You should pray about things you desire of God. Get your biblical heart set. What do you want? In Luke 6:12, before making huge decisions, Jesus went to the mount and prayed all night before he chose the 12. And then the other, number two, is meditation. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's comfortable in those situations. He delights. It is in his pleasure to meditate in the law of the Lord. He meditates. When it comes to getting to a stumbling blocks out of your way, meditate on the verses that move those blocks and keep those verses close with you. Whatever you need to do, do it. Keep God always in front of your face. Develop a godly vision for your life. Romans 12:2 warns you not to be squeezed by the word into a carnal vision, but be transformed in your heart so that your heart flows, from your heart flows new you. See yourself delivered. See yourself demonstrating God's nature to the world as you move through life. Number four, study 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16. Allow the word to unfold to your understanding heart. Develop yourself in the ways of godliness. Nothing wrong with taking time to focus on scripture that help you with your particular needs, but get a scope for the word so that these areas and these verses that you read fit together with the rest of the word, that you're not just jumping off on this one verse. God wants me to prosper, so come hell or high water, I'm going to prosper. There's other things involved in prosperity. Sharing of your bounty, sharing of your first fruits. That's always a godly thing to do. Number five, praise. Prepare yourself to be praising the Lord. Praise God. Give him the glory. Don't be afraid. Prepare yourself to praise him. The man at the gate of Acts chapter 3 leaped up, stood, walking and entering into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He wasn't ashamed. He was thankful. The woman who found her lost piece of silver called her friends and rejoiced with her. So many records of praise in the Word of God. Read of David's praise in Psalms. David said God's praise would be continually in his mouth. And that's always so helpful out of a heart that is really full of true praise for God for deliverance. It helps other people. How can I help someone else believe? Well, there's one of the things. Through my praise of God for true victories. These are the ways to prepare for triumph. There are many more. These make great stepping stones. You know, you might even list a few phone numbers that when this comes to pass, I'm going to call so-and-so, and I'm going to give my praise of God and share with him my praise and thanksgiving to God. They make great stepping stones. Can you receive the word that you hear and know and believe as it is in truth, the word of God, and that it will effectually work in you that believe? He sent out his word, and it healed, and from their corruptions it freed. Be determined for deliverance. Prepare yourself for triumph. You are a child of the Most High God. He loves you. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He said, let there be light, and there was light, and the whole universe got put back together. He healed the ground. You have a seat at his table as many times a day as you are hungry. So, you know, one of the things you can do is give thanks for the food that you're eating. One of the other things, if you're with your family and you take time, have a believers meeting in the morning, have manifestations. Let the manifestations get edified, get you built up. You have a seat at the at his table. Please be seated. And Connie, next Sunday, you already shared, right? Okay. Well, that's great. Took a little longer today. Just wanted to share some specific points with you. Please enjoy putting these things together. And in your planning for the communion, even if it's just your family, do your communion together. If there's someone you can invite them in to enjoy it. But prepare yourselves. Have expectations. Have biblical expectations. His body was broken for our healing, and his blood was shed for our remission of sins. If you've been praying, for forgiveness, here's a way to take action on it in the communion service. So we'll be sending out some things to you, and next Saturday we'll do our communion here at home, and we will put it on the website for you to enjoy or help you in setting up yours. So in all things, be blessed. And we're so grateful for each and every one of you. God bless you. Love you. If we could be of help on anything, give me a call. God bless.